What's good, everybody? Friday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice, a week and a half into the NHL season. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, and guest Chris Wassel. What's up, Robbie?
What's up, Pete? And Chris, welcome back to the show. It's been a minute. How you doing?
I know, right? It's like we changed seasons or something. Oh, wait, I look outside and where did winter go? Allegedly, we heard rumors of C5 that there will be a snowstorm next week.
Wow. Well, winter weather, definitely some hockey weather, and we're getting into the thick of the season right now, Chris. And definitely wanted to give you a shout out off the top. You absolutely dominated our playoff pool this past postseason, so kudos for that. And yeah, hopefully it translates to the regular season for your fantasy teams and all the advice you're spitting out on a daily basis.
I hope so. Something has to stick, right? I mean, you know, we had that poor injury ninja guy that seems to be following Philadelphia around like a lost pup, and a couple other teams. This is going to be one of the roughest seasons that I can remember for people, because it didn't take long to start. And between your delays and now your injuries, people are just throwing their hands up. Like, what do we do? There's just a lot, guys, to discuss, unfortunately, because of all these injuries and COVID concerns and such.
Well, let's start with the Washington Capitals, Chris, who are going to miss four players, three of which are fantasy relevant. We have Samsonov, we have Ovechkin, we have Kuznetsov. So they are out a minimum of four games. Now, especially for Samsonov, Chris, he did have a high draft pedigree. Obviously, the goaltender position, as you know, is one of the craziest positions in fantasy this year. So how do you deal with that from a fantasy perspective, knowing that this is not going to be exclusive probably to the Caps? We saw it with the Hurricanes. What are you doing to anticipate more of this throughout the regular season?
This has been a big problem, and especially in the deeper leagues that I am in with even with prospect pools, and you're seeing prospects that normally would never see the light of day, the Vitecheks of the well, Vitecek would have anyway, but because of the Holpe situation where he went to Vancouver, but on other teams now, you see Scott Wedgwood playing last night, for example, and that shouldn't ever happen, you know, because of COVID concerns and such. Yeah. Now, Samsonov is the one that tested positive. Now, do I like the way it was revealed by the media? No, I don't personally, just because I could see it being a bit of a problem. And his case is unique. Obviously, again, he's the one that tested positive. Could it be more than four games? No one knows, because as it's been put to us, at least, it's under review. So that is, you have to be extremely keen at the how he comes back, guys. And we just don't know, because there's just not enough studies on this. There's too many long-term effects that are being seen already. And your hope is that he comes back in four games. He would be the one where you sit there and you go into your fantasy leagues and you do take a bit of a plunge, maybe on the waiver wire, just because of the unknown.
Like, are you picking up Vanacek for that replacement?
Yes. I absolutely would. I would look at guys like maybe Linus Ullmark, even for short term, because look, Carter Hutton is just not the answer in Buffalo. He just for isn't. Sure. And I'm going that route, where I'm looking at tier three and four and five guys that are literally at the bottom of your wish lists for fantasy drafts that you now have to look at on your waiver wire because of COVID.
Yeah, and the Buffalo Sabres, we don't know if Ullmark's going to start, but they're facing the Capitals on Friday and they're getting their third crack at them. They played them a lot tougher in the second game. And, you know, that's some of the daily trends that you could maybe capitalize on, of course, if a team is missing multiple players. But let's shift it to positive news. And the Dallas Stars are going to kick off their season on Friday after a week and a half hiatus after their games were canceled and such. I think this is a case, guys, where like it's like their fantasy value has diminished a little bit, whereas it should be ramped up a little bit because they have more games left to play. And I think you could spin it positively, whereas most people are kind of, you know, maybe steering clear of the Stars. I mean, they have, six, seven fantasy relevant guys that need to be on rosters in fantasy leagues.
Well, right. And you're seeing this with on Twitter today. I got asked this morning, do I keep Klingberg, Taves, or Pulak? Which one do I prioritize? And I'm like, Klingberg all day long. I mean, you can't just put this guy at the end of the depth chart just because they haven't played a game yet. It's not a knock on the player fantasy wise. It's just the way it is this season. Right. So I think, Chris, when you have a team like the Stars, there are guys out there on the waiver wire already. I mean, I've seen Joe Pavelski available in a handful of leagues personally. So it's like, why wouldn't you pick this guy up? You know, I mean, if Dallas is going to do what they did last year, where they did have a little trouble scoring, but guys like Radulov, guys like Pavelski, those are going to be the guys accounting for most of the point share until Seguin gets back.
Right. I mean, and people, this is funny to say, but there's quite a few people, and even I won't call out some fantasy players that are more in, have more teeth in this, that have forgotten that Tyler Seguin is out, or that John Klingberg was day to day up until today. Just for example. And it's because, yeah, we forgot about Dallas a little bit. Yeah. It's a human reaction. You don't see a team play. I mean, look at, for example, Tampa Bay had 6 days off partially because of the coronavirus. Nashville had about, you know, Nashville is on a bit of a layoff because of the coronavirus and concerns and stuff. Now, how does that factor all into tonight? And you have the Dallas fantasy player. I saw Miro Heiskanen on a waiver wire, and I should never, ever see that.
That's horrible.
And it wasn't in some, like, you know, friends, 10 or 12 team league. This was in a 20 team league, mind you. And I looked this morning and I'm like, wait, and yet it happened. So this is going to be part and parcel of what you see in this NHL season. You're going to see players on the waiver wire that normally should never be there. And they're going to be because nobody knows. A 2 week injury is basically 1/7 of the season. And that's true. So if a team like Dallas is out for a week and a half, that's 5-6 games.
Yeah, for sure. And Heiskanen, we're rolling out in our DFS picks for tonight because, I mean, man, oh, man, was this guy incredible in the playoffs last year as a defenseman and a very young one at that, right? 26 points in 27 games, third, I should say, behind Kucherov and Braden Point. So, and those guys are both forwards, obviously. So amazing stuff for him. We have him right around the top 60 overall. Other guys on the Stars, we mentioned Klingberg, Khudobin with Ben Bishop, another forgotten name. Bishop is out long-term along with Seguin. So Khudobin is the surefire starter. He's in our top 100 overall. A couple other guys, Jamie Benn covers hits. Of course, still brings the scoring pop here and there. Alexander Radulov, another one that has a very high ceiling. And then Bobby's boy, Denis Gurianov. These are just guys like that are really top-notch fantasy players at different stretches of the season. And if Dallas comes in and they're, you know, fit and ready to come in hot and defend their Western Conference crown, I mean, they could provide a ton of value here.
One thing that I think is going to be mentally maybe a hurdle is that they have ground to make up. It's going to feel like they're chasing the standings a little bit. And I know we shouldn't be checking the standings yet, but let's be honest, we are looking at them. And Dallas is down there at the bottom because they haven't played a game yet. So I think they're going to have to come out strong. That's why I like the pick tonight. I think they're actually home dogs. Let me verify that against the Predators. Yep, they are. They're home dogs.
Still plus home dogs.
Yeah, home dogs. So get on that while you can. I mean, from what we saw, they were hungry in the playoffs. They were able to turn it up a notch. Now, granted, yes, Seguin is out, but I do think they'll be able to dig in. And some of the younger players too, Pete, like Kiviranta, some of these guys showed flashes in the postseason. So look for that to maybe carry over and get a more of a feel for it. But Chris, I have to say, I've seen this more so than ever in fantasy this year, that people are way too short on players. They are cutting them already. We're talking about Elias Pettersson. I haven't seen anyone drop him yet, but I'm seeing people on Twitter clamoring about how he's never going to be the same, how this, that. I'm like, what is going on with this?
Okay. I can't believe I'm using social mentality on an NHL fantasy discussion. And yet here we are, because like I said, we're month basically 11 into it, or the 11th month of the pandemic, quote unquote. You are seeing reactions in the industry, never mind amongst regular fantasy players, but even among experts, that are starting to delve into not the panic rage, but awfully close. And that's sobering. When you see analysts feeding into it, experts,
yeah,
the whole nine yards.
Well, one guy, Kevin Fiala, is one guy that some people are like cutting right now.
They're cutting.
I mean, I know the Wild don't have any centers, but you've seen Kaprizov leading all rookies in points a week and a half into the season. Fiala may be on a separate line, but he's still on, you know, plays a lot of power play time and is top four in the NHL in shots on goal, which is a key indicator. Like, let's not forget these things and just say, oh, the guy can't score anymore. The guy has 19 shots in four games. He's going to start dropping in the goals, and the red light's going to be going on soon for the kids. So, and he's very young too, right? He's 23, 24. So yeah, right around Kaprizov's age. So that's just an example of a buy low player. Pedersen is another. The St. Louis Blues have a lot of buy low players in their skater group, including Torrey Krug, including David Perron, including Ryan O'Reilly, who we mentioned on the previous show as being a little bit of a slow starter. But yeah, do you guys like any other buy low candidates right now besides the ones we've mentioned so far?
Yeah, I mean, Fiala was my big one just because he's generated 12 scoring chances. That's an average of 3 a game on a Minnesota team that normally doesn't generate a lot of chances. And that line, you know, when he was with Kaprizov briefly, it seems like they are like a match made in, well, fantasy heaven, for lack of a better phrase. But, you know, he's also generated 7 or 8 high danger chances by himself. They're bound to go in at some point. It was like the Shea Theodore argument before he had the goal and assist the other night. It's going to go in. The guy, again, another guy was averaging like 4 shots a game. You know, Matthew Dumba, you know, the last 2 games, people have forgotten him a little bit because he hasn't scored, but the guy's averaging about 4 shots a game. Again, these are guys that they'll be fine. The one I have a little bit of concern with, although I think he will get it going eventually, is Kyle Palmieri. That one's tough. I think he does get it going. And it will be soon. I know people are like, well, he's this, he's that. That's one. A couple of the other slow starters, like we mentioned, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, yes, face-off guy, stat peripheral guy, excellent across the board. He'll get it going. Now, here's where it gets fun. Is anybody like dare look at the Rangers power play lately and just go, or even the Rangers in general, just go, what the heck is David Quinn doing?
Yeah.
There is your hub of buy low candidates. Guess who they are playing tonight? The Pittsburgh Penguins, who are missing their 4th, 5th, 7th, and 8th defensemen.
Yeah.
They're already defensively deficient.
They're decimated.
Yeah, they're already defensively deficient as it is. We all know that when they're healthy. So you imagine, and look, Marcus Peterson is a huge loss for them, particularly because of the glue minutes that he plays, obviously. And that goes without saying. But if there is a team that has a bunch of buy low candidates, let's see, Fox, Zibanejad, even Panarin to a lesser extent, just because you'd expect him to have a few more points right now. I could go up and down a list with several different Rangers that you could list, and maybe a couple Penguins too, just for fun. You know, even Shesterkin, for example. So the look at team clusters, guys. That's very important.
Hey, Wassel, if I'm reading between the lines there, do you like the Rangers tonight as underdogs against Pittsburgh, or you're just a little disappointed with the way they've played early? You wouldn't put a shekel on them at this point?
A little bit of both, to be honest. I expected the Rangers, at least offensively, to be a little more, I don't know if competent's the right word, but a little more even-keeled than they have been. Look, the game against the Devils was interesting. The Zibanejad goal, that was a goal, but maybe wasn't a goal, but the 16th angle showed it went in finally, that only people on NHL TV got to see. But all kidding aside, there is definitely a dysfunction in that team that you can put your finger on, which is really bad. And
it's going to lead me to my next question, and it's not fantasy relevant all that much, Pete and Rob, so I apologize. But as I look at this Rangers team, they obviously need a center. I look at Columbus with Dubois, and we can go over the situation that happened last night with Torts and Dubois. I'm a team Torts guy. Dubois obviously was not trying on the ice, and Torts yanked him off the ice. Do you see any chance that the Rangers can go get Dubois? And if not, where do you think Dubois is going to land? Where do you think he'd be the best fit? I know it's tough to speculate, but I would love the Rangers to go get Dubois. God, if they could do that, that'd be great.
Two words I want to just interject here. John Davidson, don't count him out. You remember where he used to be? You know where he is now. Just throwing it out there. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, remember too that his trade value is crashed right now. It is. You can get him for much less than you would expect. It's still costly. It's going to be no matter what. But from a fantasy standpoint, and we'll tie it all back in, the Rangers absolutely need a center. Ryan Strome is not the answer. He struck lightning in a bottle last year. It was magical. It was fun. I may have won a couple leagues because of him, etc. But it's not working this year. And part of that does have to go back to David Quinn. David Quinn has been a fantasy hindrance.
Major.
In this early going.
Major. I mean, we saw with Kako last year too. He just can't get the top 6 minutes. Maybe that's a player that would be going the other way with Kekalainen maybe having interest there. You never know. But I don't know, Chris. I look at this Pierre-Luc Dubois situation. I say this is a decent buy low, but at the same time, it's not, because if he's only going to play a handful of minutes every night for Columbus, in the meantime, until they find a dance partner here to make a trade, you're getting like next to nothing value. And right now, as far as I can tell in this early season fantasy-wise, Chris, I need guys in the lineup every night. I've already been burned by a couple of these situations. I can't keep waiting for some of these names. And it's funny, I said to someone on Twitter, ask me about Pierre-Luc Dubois in 2 weeks. Well, now it's been 2 weeks, basically, into the season. And I'm like, I might be willing to say, I can't waste a roster spot on this.
It's absolutely true. This 56 game schedule isn't just a 56 game schedule. And now you're getting into, well, let's see, you have 115 days. So you're right now, by rough math, you're about day 10, technically, into the regular season. So guys, that's like about about 8.5-9% of the season is already gone.
Yeah, it's tough.
They think about that for a second. We would be in a spread out schedule of about 180 days with an 82 game schedule. We would be what, maybe 1/18th into the season, or a little over 5%. It's a big difference fantasy wise. And sometimes we don't realize or appreciate that. Maybe the condensed bubble last year at the tail end made us realize it a little bit, but some forgot. So can I wait on a guy like Dubois anymore? Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this, but no, I can't. I cannot wait on guys like this to, is he going to produce? Is he not? Is he this? Is he that? And you start going up and down some of these rosters and you say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Could I wait on even Anaheim? Can I wait on some of these bottom guys that like a Getzlaf now in the tail end of his career? Maybe I thought I could milk a little bit until I could bridge other roster spots. No, because they're so bad offensively that how do I justify rostering players? I'm going to get to that point even maybe with a Gusev and Palmieri if it goes much longer because of, say, the Hischier injury. That's a big problem.
One fan question we got, it kind of like feeds off the hot start for Jack Hughes and, puts under the microscope Alexis Lafreniere. Like, this guy's saying he has Lafreniere. He's been offered a 1-for-1 trade for Jack Hughes in a keeper league. How do you approach something like this? Because caught up in that dysfunction of the Rangers and underachieving is Lafreniere, who's playing on the second line the past two games. He's got no points in his first three games. You don't expect this to continue, but with the Quinn type factor, you never know. So like, do you kind of like feed off this hot start for Jack Hughes? But then like without Blackwood, like the wheels came off a little bit. So it's just hard to answer right now, I think.
Yeah, for people that really are into what's big going on with, say, the Devils, Rangers, Tri-State area, et cetera, with some of the teams, look at it this way. Devils and Rangers were probably looking up at the start of the season, particularly the Devils, obviously. Most everybody had them picked to finish last in the East Division, which, sorry, I'm still getting used to it with all the little sponsorship names for each division. Now, Jack Hughes' hot start, probably not a fluke. I mean, he even had two or three good scoring chances last night. It's just that Semyon Varlamov is playing on another level right now. And okay, maybe that one off the post Hughes should have had, but again, you can't argue with the differences in his game. And it doesn't hurt that Lindy Ruff is deploying him in a different way than John Hines did last year. And it did hurt. Look, Hines did impact Hughes' development in both a negative and now positive way, because now you're seeing the sort of boomerang effect. Could that happen in New York? Yeah, absolutely. But the problem is, again, deployment. And Lafreniere has to be given the chance to play these top 6 minutes. And look, Keiko wasn't last year. He really didn't get those minutes that he needed. And it's showing even into this season. And like the Robs have said, it's an ongoing concern. It's troubling in these fantasy times when you don't see proper deployment.
What's troubling is that Lafreniere will be playing with Zibanejad tonight, which is great. I love that. But we saw this same thing last year with Kaka, where he would get a couple games up there. He'd look pretty good. And then next thing you know, he's playing 11 minutes a game on their third or fourth line. And you're wondering, wait a second, what is going on here, right? So I think Pete, I will answer that question by saying I would make that deal now. If I had Lafreniere, I would absolutely capitalize and get Jack Hughes while you can. Because let's say Jack Hughes keeps this up this whole season. Newsflash, you're not making that deal after that happens, right? Yeah. And the other thing is, too, just watching Jack Hughes, this was happening last year. He looked like this at times last year. He just couldn't finish for the life of him. Now he's finishing. You said it well, Chris. He looked great last night. He looked dominant last night. I think Palmieri even could have finished a couple of those chances, too, around the net. He just didn't. So I would say make the deal now. Will they have similar career trajectories? Absolutely. Lafreniere is going to be a star, but I think Jack Hughes has that next level edge. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder, and I'm 100% confident that the Devils are on the right track with Lindy Ruff.
Yeah. And I always, with Hughes, I always think back to like the beginning of last year where he had a couple of golden chances and couldn't bury the puck. And then his confidence went down and his deployment was not great. And the team was awful, right? Like they had Taylor Hall, they had all those expectations. They had Subban, and then they were terrible, and then they ended up trading Hall, and it was just like a downer of a season for the Devils with high expectations as they were one of the most improved teams. Now this year, no expectations, it seemed. All of a sudden, you see some of these young names popping up besides Hughes and Blackwood. Ty Smith right now, second among all rookies in points with 4 in 4 games behind Kaprizov. Wassel, I know you know a lot about this player, but there's Sharangovich as well. There's still Gusev who could benefit once he sure comes back, hopefully. So a lot of youthful energy to this team, and they're defying the odds right now, at least by staying in contention.
Yeah, it's early. It's early too, but the thing to keep in mind, Ty Smith was probably ready last year, or at least arguably was ready last year. And yet, one of the best things, and his coach from Spokane said it, may very well have been that extra year. He did get to see things from a little bit of a distance. And with the pandemic, there was a big help as far as development. Sharangovich is just a fun player to watch. I mean, yeah, he gets knocked off the puck a little bit more than maybe he should, but he's a little tiny bowling ball out there that draws penalties and draws the ire of opponents quickly. Just ask Boston sometime how they feel about him. And those are the kind of players that the Devils need it. Now, yeah, there's holes, there's issues and everything, but you could point that with a lot of teams.
Right now, there's no better player name to say than Sharangovic. So I love the player. 8-game slate tonight. Wassel, we know what your bread and butter is. It's DFS. It's picks. I mean, you are the absolute master. Anytime we have you on the show, you're ringing the register. The listeners love it. So we're going to break down this 8-game slate. As you look at the board, first let's do some DFS, then we'll do some picks. As you look at the board, 8-game slate, as I mentioned, on this 122-21, where are you going DFS-wise, Chris?
So many options. Obviously, look, for those that don't know, Buffalo ownership will be very high tonight. If you didn't get in on it yesterday, I'll have my little betting aside. If you did not get in at +120 with Buffalo, I'm sorry. It's about -125 to -130 right now. And it's still, I'm looking at it now. It's dinging on my phone even, that odds are still going the other way. So many apologies if you did not get in on it. There's a reason why, obviously. Washington, last meeting with Buffalo, by the way, only generated 21 shots on goal. And that was with Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Orlov, and Samsonov. Just saying. Will Washington have a bit of a chip on the shoulder tonight? Sure. Do they have a big, giant void down the middle of their defense? They always do. And you're going to see Buffalo players that normally aren't highly owned. They may just be lumped in tonight just because. Look, Jack Eichel is Jack Eichel. Oh, by the way, somebody at FanDuel thought it would be funny to drop him below 8,000 tonight.
Leads the league in assists, last I checked.
I mean, look, he has 6 assists. I understand his shots on goal are down a bit this year. He's still averaging nearly 3 shots a goal, and he's averaging more than 3 scoring chances. His scoring chances actually outnumber his shots on goal. Don't worry about that goose egg in front of the goal counter. I think he's going to be okay. And we all know Washington's penalty kill is not the – I think you could say this about half the penalty kills in the league, guys. They're pretty freaking awful because the offenses are ahead of the defenses right now. So there's lots to exploit tonight. You go through the schedule. Obviously, there's some North Division matchup that was a dud earlier in the week that may not be now. I almost want to go into the Montreal Vancouver miniseries just as a cruel joke for everybody. But it is true. There will be numbers tonight. You're going to enjoy this. There is lots to look at. And that's what, look, you could even go to Dallas. You could go to Detroit, Chicago. Look, can Chicago not give up 5 goals tonight? That's a big question. I think Detroit actually might be a team that gets unexpectedly higher ownership tonight.
Just I was going to say, I mean, Detroit has some real appeal here. The Blackhawks have played, 3 games? They've been outscored like 20-9. Their goaltending is pretty brutal. They're, you know, even some of their defensemen like Boqvist that we, you know, had some high-ish hopes for of becoming fantasy relevant. He's had some trouble in his own end for sure. That team is in big trouble. They look like the worst team in the league. They just got swept by the Florida Panthers, who I think are also a flawed team, but they didn't really look nearly as flawed as they are. And the Red Wings here are kind of mixing up their lines a little bit. We're so accustomed to seeing that trademark top line, but it's actually Bobby Ryan on the same line as Anthony Mantha. And then it's like Zadina with Larkin, I mean, and Bertuzzi, I guess. I mean, that's an interesting wrinkle. I certainly like the direction of the Red Wings right now, trending up a lot more than the Blackhawks trending way, way down.
Right. And there's a ton of value with Detroit tonight that people will see when they start looking at some of their roster construction tonight, especially. Look, this is the one mind-blowing number. Now, Chicago has given up 5 goals in every single one of their games. So that's 4. The odds, numerology aside, the odds of them giving up 5 goals in 5 straight games. How about 1 in about 2.5 million, guys? Thanks to our friends from FanDuel Sportsbook for this one, because I had to ask somebody I knew there. I was like, what are the odds of this happening? And I figured they're from New Jersey. They're from the Atlantic City area. They've got to know somebody that can find this out. And sure enough, about 1 in 2.5 million. You have a better chance of getting in a car accident than seeing this happen. So is it going to tonight? I don't have an answer for that. But could Detroit easily score 3-4 goals tonight and make one of their top two lines more than DFS relevant? Absolutely.
For sure.
And they're not the only team that you could do this tonight, which is kind of nice. We don't have 8-game slates on Friday nights, guys, very often. I'm just saying.
Well, I was looking at the board, and two things that really were eye-popping for me was the first one being the Rangers. I love them at plus 125 tonight. I know I was a little bit down on them, you know, earlier in the program, but this is a team that needs a healthy response tonight. They need to show that they've got that highbrow offense, and what a better opponent to show that against than the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are absolutely crushed on the back end. They also have a goaltender controversy brewing before everybody's eyes. And let's be honest, Chris, Casey DeSmith gave up four goals in back-to-back games, but he got the win, eked out two wins. That's not a stamp of confidence there for the goalie moving forward. So I like the Rangers on the road. The other play I will throw, I'm going to cherry pick the Stars here a little bit, just because I think everything we mentioned, Pete, you said Heiskanen played so well. I agree. He's going to be their leader early in the season. Hopefully Klingberg's ready to play some big minutes early on here. And I think they're going to rally around maybe Seguin and Bishop being out. So I like the Stars two home dogs against the Predators.
And I mean, one thing of interesting value, I mean, we saw the Avalanche lose, get upset by the LA Kings last night. It was a tight game in the third period. Kings got the goal and then the empty netter. But it just shows you that it's possible. So you see some value on the Ducks, maybe plus 175. I don't think they're going to beat the Avs, but could they keep it close? Could Gibson keep playing well? Absolutely. Avs on short rest. So just something to point out there. I'm surprised to see the Sharks, such big underdogs against the Minnesota Wild, plus 150, and you see minus 175 for the Wild. So, I mean, are the Wild that much better of a team than the Sharks? No way. And the Sharks just played the Blues really tight and eked one out in the second end, which I thought was a little telling for that team. They're not just a complete has-been team. They're trying to compete here. So, and that's one of those fringe new divisional matchups, right? That we were saying these two teams are probably going to be competing for that fourth and final playoff spot in the West.
Before we get to Chris, here are my picks for a Friday. Lock them in. Some of them were already mentioned by you guys, but I like Buffalo for obvious reasons. I like the Rangers. Rob mentioned them. I think they need to respond tonight. I think they have a big effort against Pittsburgh's defense, like Rob mentioned. And then as I go further down the board, I kind of like Toronto. Put Toronto on the puck line. Maybe they can get an empty netter at that value. It's like plus 170 or something on the puck line. I like that. And that's about it. That's where I would go. Detroit as underdogs too would be appealing, as Christopher Wassel mentioned earlier. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Now the one wrinkle with San Jose is, remember, they're playing their games in Arizona as well. That may be something. There may be something to it, at least. Bettors are a weird, fickle community, much like fantasy hockey guys and ladies. Because now with the industry starting to sort of expand out again, you know, it's like quite a few ladies have asked me, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we have some betting picks and, you know, we want to get them in. Kelly in Vegas and a couple of my good friends from out there, of course, they keep asking, when are you coming to Vegas? And it's like, pandemic. It's like, I'm not flying 5 hours out the I can't be in something that enclosed tin can. But
I'll fill in for you, Chris.
I know you will, because I'll jump on
that plane. I got no problem. Tell Kelly in Vegas, old Bob Bender will swing by and we'll have a nice little weekend, okay?
Hey, I don't blame you at all. But that's the thing in this, guys. Watch San Jose is also trying to basically implement a new defensive system on the fly. With Bob Bugner and company. This is Bugner's last chance. Basically, he doesn't get it at least somewhat fixed. They don't have to have the best record in the division, far, 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 far. but they have to be at least more competitive than they were in last year. And from what I'm seeing early on so far, it's like a team fighting itself. So that may be part of the reason why it's not so much Minnesota. It's more San Jose struggling to find itself. That's why the odds are a little bit more tilted than you would expect for this matchup.
Yeah, I saw that Erik Karlsson is leading the NHL in time on ice per game, and he's in the bottom 10 in shot attempts ratio. He's minus 33. So, and Burns is also in the top 5 of time on ice per game. So they're riding those guys into the ground. Hopefully Karlsson is fully healthy. Otherwise it's going to be, not a good trend for, in terms of wherewithal to hang around for the entire season. It's going to be tough leaning on those two guys that heavily. Hurdle has been one of the standouts of the entire fantasy season to this point. But other than that, there are some holes, like you said, and fighting against itself is very well said in terms of fighting off the rebuild, trying to maybe sneak into the playoffs. Is it worth it? Would it have been better to go in a different direction in hindsight? Yeah, probably. And last year was, that was a disaster to finish in the bottom 5 and then not get a lottery pick after the Karlsson trade. And then you see Norris playing well in Ottawa. It's just, that's tough.
It's over, Pete. It's over for the Sharks, okay? Karlsson is shot. Karlsson is shot. Let's just be frank about it. Okay, he's getting overpaid. Is a bad contract, and the Sharks are not going to be good for a while, Pete. You're just going to have to, I know you like to have the rose colored glasses on with that team and that club, but I'm just not seeing it. And the goaltending, where's the goaltending? I mean, what are they going to do with the goaltending? So listen, yeah, the Sharks, just be honest, they're going to be in the bottom half of that division. And I don't see them being good for quite a while. So let's put a bow on it. And Robbie, what do you got?
I got a closing remark here. I want to say two things I'm keeping a close eye on this weekend. One thing tonight, I really want to see the Oilers. They have to show some signs of fight early in the season. I'm not going to ring any alarm bells yet. That wouldn't be fair. It's still too early to say that about many teams, but I want to watch them closely. I also am watching one other team this weekend, the Vancouver Canucks. Holy moly, they need help in the net. And this is going to be a tough matchup again for them on Saturday. They've got a chance at redemption against the Canadiens, but they're scoring at will right now against pretty much any opponent. So Vancouver, again, I'm not sounding the alarm bells here, but we need to see a big effort from Pettersson and the guys up front and give their goalies a little bit more support.
The biggest problem with Vancouver, it's kind of like they're almost as decimated as Pittsburgh right now, injury-wise. Remember, you have no Edler. And Edler was a big glue piece for them. You have two other defensemen that are out as well. So you have three defensemen out on a team that already was going into the season defensively deficient. They weren't just dominated last night. They were run over. I looked at the numbers. I mean, this was basically, I looked and just went,
42-17 shots in favor of Montreal. I mean, that's what it is.
At one point, scoring chances were 15-2 Canadians. 15-2.
Wow.
Now, I understand no crowd, no this, no that. Home ice, throw all that out the window. Montreal could roll 4 lines. Vancouver couldn't even roll 2.5.
Yeah, I'm convinced Montreal is winning the Canadian division. I've seen enough. They're the deepest team up in that division. I like them. I should have taken them before the season started. Would have been a good bet. Now I'm behind the trend a little bit.
I thought about it. My only concern with Montreal, and it always will be the only concern with them right now, is Claude Julien. If he overcoaches, he doesn't have to overcoach this team. He just has to play what is there and not panic.
Well, I saw their power play is second best in the league right now. And they're one of those, the short list of teams that have not yet lost in regulation. Their only two losses were overtime or shootout. Sure. And, great response from them after losing that really tight game the couple nights before. Toffoli leads the league in goals right now, tied with Bo Horvat. And that's troubling too, that like Horvat's scoring this much and the Canucks are still a mess right now with the injuries on defense. The goaltending has not been good enough, not even close. And then their goal differential second worst to the Blackhawks. So, Yeah, and they've played the most games too. They've played six games. No other team has played six games. So we've seen a lot of the Canucks, and it hasn't been pretty for sure. But Chris, thanks so much for hopping on, man. Great insight as always.
Thanks, Chris.
Anytime, guys. Anytime at all.
Put a bow on it, Peter.
At Chris Wassel DFS. Follow him on Twitter. Hit him up for sports betting and, of course, DFS advice all season long. So for Chris, Bobby B., Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll be back for another Monday, Wednesday, Friday string of episodes next week, and we'll talk to you then.